Bailey and Hardy, Ultrasound Assistant, is proudly sponsored by Protein Rebel. Have you ever had super twitchy legs, after a long run where you can't get to sleep and they're just like twitchy, twitchy, twitchy? I have. And the only thing that has ever sorted them out is this Protein Rebel Power Up Seawater Magnesium. All you need to do is take 1 teaspoon of Power Up every evening, mix with water or juice, and it helps to improve your sleep, it honestly does, reduce restless and twitchy legs, and power up your body ready for your next run. Protein Rebel are a UK-based company who provide natural nutrition for runners, and their products include marine collagen, which I've also tried, which is amazing, this magnesium, which is amazing, a vegan protein powder, and award-winning maple syrup gels. And they have been kind enough to gift me a bundle to give to you, dear listener. One lucky listener will win a bundle in September 2024. And that bundle includes a tin of Accelerate vegan protein powder, a tin of Run Easy marine collagen, a tin of Power Up seawater magnesium, and 9 of these delightful Maple Ignite energy gels. All you need to do, head to Instagram, go to our link tree, enter the competition. The link is in the link tree. Put your email in, Bob's your uncle, but this will only work in September 2024. I love Protein Rebel. I really, really do. They sent me stuff free to try, and then I started buying it. And you can buy it too, using a discount code, which is also in our bio on Instagram. You'll get 15% off. So head over to Instagram at Ultrasound System Pod, fill in the form, enter the competition, get your discount code. And remember, listener, this is a grown-up podcast for grown-up people with some very immature, silly themes and lots of swearing. So if you're in the car on the school run, I'd advise you fucking switch it off now. All the best. Welcome to the Bailey and Mr. Controversial Alban, Dr. Alban, Paul Alban, Damon Albarn podcast. With me, Ali Bailey, and Mr. Controversial himself,
Paul Alban. Morning.
Well, listener, Paul created quite a kerfuffle, didn't he, with his comments, which we are going to talk about. But the first thing I'm going to mention is the fact that Paul looks like he has got a spray tan.
Yeah, well, I'm currently looking out the window and it's drizzly and about 16 degrees.
Perfect intervals weather, everybody.
Yeah, I think by the end of the week, it's going to be 28 degrees again. But I think it's just where I've been outside.
Because you are now Mr. Controversial and you thought, well, people are talking about me, I'm kind of a big deal, I'm a podcast presenter, I'm going to go and get spray tan?
No, I do tan quite easily. But I've not even really been out loads.
Are you going on Love Island?
No, unfortunately not. I don't think anybody needs that.
I would love to see you on Love Island. I think it'd be amazing.
Uncomfortably sitting in the corner, not really wanting to engage with anybody, just sort of being annoyed.
Members of the ultra running fraternity that we'd like to see on Love Island, because it would be funny. 1, John Kelly. 2, you. 3, yeah. I'd like James Elson and Gary House to be in there together, because I just think it would be a recipe for absolute disaster.
I'll be honest, I don't think I've seen more than 5 minutes of clips of that programme in however long.
I refuse to watch it because of the fact that it is just bullying on telly. But sometimes, when I used to work in music, we would have songs on it. So if you got a song on Love Island, if you got, like, they call it a sync, like they'd sync it up to the action. So if something dramatic was happening and they used one of your artist's songs, that song would then go to number 1 in the charts, because everyone would like Shazam it and be like, oh my God, did you see when so-and-so got mugged off and they played that song and it was really sad? And then idiots, the general public, buy that song and it goes straight up the charts. So if that happened, I used to have to watch Love Island to work out where in the programme it was.
So, I mean, how long has it been going on for? I've been a little while since you've been in music, isn't it? So
yeah. All right. Jesus Christ. Look at him.
I thought it was 5 years or something. Must have been longer than that.
How long has Love Island been going? Well, let's face it. We're going to talk about Oasis in a minute. That album is 30 years old. So I thought it was 2005, first series.
Wow. Yeah. So it's been, 20 years nearly. Well, yeah. 19 years of...
Yeah.
That's... Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Yeah. 2005 to present. And people have killed themselves coming up Love Island, which makes me think they shouldn't have it on the telly anymore. Hey, do you want to know something else about 2005? But actually, not 2005, 2015. This week, One of my friends, one of my long lost friends, sent me a text message saying, "Ali, oh my God, your brother's famous." And I looked, and it was a Reddit link. And when I looked at the Reddit link, it was a thread on Reddit, and somebody had found a disposable camera at Reading Festival in 2014, and they'd kept it. And then recently, they'd gone and they got it developed, and the photos on it, they then put on Reddit and said, "Does anybody know who this dude is?" And it was my little brother, and it was him with Ollie, my little brother. He's built like a brick shit house. He's massive, and he is very funny. And he's got, at the time, he was sporting long waist length dreadlocks and a beard with a plait in it. And obviously, I was working in music. And so I said to him, "Do you want to come to Reading? I've got some backstage passes," because that's the kind of person I am. And I brought him with me. Now, the problem with that was he was walking around introducing himself to every celebrity like he was their friend. So there's loads of pictures of him with like Zane Lowe and like the lead singer of Frank and the Rattlesnakes and like the guys from the Arctic Monkeys and the Klaxons and then just Ollie. And the comments on Reddit were amazing. They're like, "He must be a journalist because he's got a big camera around his neck." We still can't work out whose camera that was or why it was around his neck. But Ollie's got contact with the girl, and the girl was sending him all of the photos. And
There we go.
I'm excited and terrified because that was 15 years ago.
Disposable camera 15 years ago. But with a big camera around his neck.
Yeah, so the camera you have around his neck, is that my camera? Because I used to have a big camera. It's not my camera. I think it must have been, I was quite good friends with a lot of rock journos, which is how I managed to get my dirty little fingers into backstage areas. So I imagine we were just looking after it for someone, probably.
Because
Don't
can you
know.
imagine sort of giving somebody a disposable camera saying, "Can you take my picture with this, please?" While you've got like a couple of grand's worth of stuff around your neck.
Yeah, but
It's
also
a.
there's like, he's got 2 pints of Tuborg as well, and I'm like, and they're probably sloshing all over the place. I don't know what's going on. It was a different time. Quite excited about those photos, but also I love the fact that my brother's become a Reddit meme. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if I got that message saying, "Oh, someone you know is a Reddit meme," you're like, "Oh my God, what's gone wrong?" Like, it's. Normally, those things are full of evil, aren't they? Rather than like nice, wholesome stories. Every now and then, you get a good
You
one,
could
but
become a Reddit meme. Do you know how?
go on.
Your excuses and borderline laughable reasons why you can't go running.
Should we get into that?
Yeah.
That's
Should we just
fine,
do a
right?
recap for people that were at the back who weren't listening?
Yeah, okay, go on then.
Last month, Paul Albin and me had this Albin and me had this chat about his running and or lack thereof, and he made every excuse under the sun as to why he couldn't go running. Now, the major one he used was his twins. He was like, "I've got twins." Like, it was some sort of illness, but it's not an illness, it's a choice. Anywho, the women of the Ultra Running Sound System podcast were up in arms. Up in arms, Paul, saying, "Hang on a minute, love. Like, we also have two children and we work and we have husbands and we share the responsibility and we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go running." All those sorts of things. They were up in arms. So you said I was blindsided. You said to me I was blindsided by the question. And I'm like, no, you weren't. It was a fucking conversation. But you did get into quite a pickle. You got quite flustered. At one point, I thought there was steam coming off your face. So this month, you're going to write that wrong, aren't you? You're ready. You've got a statement that you're going to read out. And I
Yeah.
imagine a full and frank apology to every woman that's ever had to look after children on her own.
No.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
I mean, to be honest, so you've obviously had people contact you with one side, and then I've had people contact me with the other side saying, "Well, yeah, of course." So
Really?
yeah,
Wow.
because and I wanna preface this with I'm not judging anybody's parenting. I know the internet is full of very
I haven't got
judgmental
any
people.
children and I'm judging everyone's parenting, okay?
Okay, well, this is.
Someone said on the internet that I've got no right to tell people how when they can and can't run, go running because I haven't got any children. Can I remind you, I'm a coach. It's what I do. So, yeah.
But this is. The internet is full of judgmental wankers, which I don't want to be one of them. So this is just. This is my truth. This is how I do things. So, if you do the opposite, I'm not saying you're doing it wrong or you're doing it badly or anything at all. But everybody can do whatever they want to do. So, everyone's situation's different. You know, you might be single parent, you might have a devoted husband or wife and 1,000 grandparents around you, whatever. So, everyone's different. However, I've made my choice, and my choice is to prioritize my kids at this current time. That is what I should have just come back with, really, rather than sort of effectively making excuses. Because as much as there are reasons, they're not excuses, but I have made the choice that for this period of time, I want to put my kids first and not ultra running. So that doesn't mean you're itching to say something, Ali. They can't see this, but I can. You look like you're about to pop. I've got, just to be clear, my 4,000 words I've written, I've only got it about 10 words into it. So you can go in now if you want, or you can wait till tomorrow when I
I would
finish.
rather you didn't say things like, I am prioritizing my children, because it makes you sound like that. The use of that language makes you sound like you're better than other people, or that children should be prioritized. Now, listen to me. I think you need to admit you don't really want to do it. You don't really want to do the training. I think that's it. If you could just say, I
Yeah, but
haven't, I don't really
that's
want to
me
do it.
prioritizing, isn't it?
Right.
That
No,
is the part.
prioritizing
So
is a different word. You need to say, I really don't want to do it. I'd much rather, instead of saying prioritizing, I'd much rather spend the time with my children. The prioritizing word makes it sound like that's what people should be doing. It's just language. And
well,
that makes people feel guilty, women, if they go and they run. You shouldn't feel guilty if you choose to go running. For a lot of women, it's the only time they have that time by themselves. And I think that use of language is so important. At the moment, I'm re-listening to Invisible Women. It's so fucking important because language has got so many judgments and values attached to it. So it's, I choose to spend time with my kids over running. That's what happens at the moment because that's what I do. That's fine. But it's owning that. I think it's owning that. That's what people
yeah,
got frustrated
okay.
about.
All right. So that's obviously, I'm not trying to load the word prioritize. I'm just putting stuff in an order, in a list, and picking out the one at the top. And
You'd
that
rather
one at the
spend
top.
time with your kids than you would go running, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's what you need to say
Because,
then. Just don't use the word
okay.
prioritize.
That's fine. Okay. I'll scrap the,
Thank you.
we'll fix it in the edit. We'll bleep out the word
No, we
prioritize.
won't. We'll leave it
And
in because
then.
it's really important that men, especially fucking men, understand the way they speak to women is sometimes derogatory and also makes them feel, or is there to make them feel guilty or to take their power away a little bit. So that is, you should be prioritizing your family. That is,
No,
you haven't said that.
that's
You
not
haven't
what I
said that.
said.
I'm not saying
That's
that's
not
what you
what I
said, but
said.
when people say that, it's like if you're not, there's something wrong with you. Now,
Yeah, if someone was to say that, they would be out of order to say you should be doing this.
so let's not use the word
That's
prioritize. Let's
my
say use the word
choice.
choice.
Yeah,
Perfect. Because
okay,
choice is
fine.
free. Choice is free. Let's use choice. Perfect.
Okay,
Great.
fine.
Love it.
So I'm
Anyway, continue
choosing.
your 4,000 words and
Okay,
I
it's
will not
not
interrupt
4,000 words,
anymore.
but don't worry.
Okay.
So I'm choosing to do that because when they're little and they're sort of like toddlers or whatever, they act like toddlers. If you they don't want you to ever leave because they want to play with you, but then as long as they've got something else to do and you leave, they sort of forget you've gone. And then when you come back, hey, brilliant, you're home. So they don't even notice when you're gone. Whereas at the moment, they do. Like, so my kids are nearly 9. And so if I'm not around for things, they notice. And as much as they sort of need to obviously not be, I
Such
guess,
needy
overly
little
attached.
fuckers.
Well, a little bit. I mean, they're kids, but so they're always going to be a bit like that. But as much as they don't, I need to go away and do things, which I do. I don't want to miss the things they do. So for the whole of the last 12 months, every Saturday and Sunday morning, we've had football for my little boy and my little girl. That's changing now, so I've only got Sunday mornings with the little girl. But I don't want to miss those football games. We had the first football game of the season last weekend, and I've missed it. It's brilliant. I enjoy that. So I get enjoyment from that. So as much as I am as much of the cliche as anybody else when it comes to school holidays, in that it feels long, it feels quite tough. I'm so lucky that I get to have pretty much 6 weeks off with my kids, and I enjoy that. And I know that, so like I said, they're what, 9 in a few months. In 3 years' time, they're not going to want me in the same town as, like, they don't want to be anywhere near me. So I know that's coming. So when they're teenagers, they won't want me watching their football. They won't want me watching the other things that they
They definitely
do.
don't
So,
watching you like what you don't they don't want you watching them vape. They don't want you
oi,
watching them
none of that.
awkwardly snogging behind trees in the
There won't be any
park.
of that until they're 25. Anyway, so they don't want me anywhere near them. So I want to enjoy the time that I have with them now because I enjoy it. So I am choosing to do that because that is what I get my enjoyment from. Soon that choice will be taken away from me because they won't want me near them, and I'll just be a taxi taking them to things and doing things with them. So that is my my choice I get them, I guess, sort of for the this I don't know, like between the ages of 6 and 11 or something like that, 7 and 11, that's like peak time because they're nice to be around. They actually enjoy me being there. I enjoy being around them. Everything's good. So I don't want to waste that time. And so there is that. When I say I've not done any running, what I then did was I then went through, so recently, so since we spoke about the fact that I'm not actually living in my actual house for the moment. So we get an extension done, which has been a nightmare, really, just time-wise. So the last 6 months, time has been tricky. So the last 6 months, running and things has sort of fallen to the back burner because again, my choices has been pushed down because we're spending a fortune on this extension. So I could go out for a run and miss bits, or I mean, last week I spent 2 evenings working out which sort of down lighters to get in the kitchen. I spent about a week sorting out
That just
LEDs
sounds like
underneath the cupboards.
procrastination to me.
No, you wouldn't. She'd think, I'm
No,
just going to get lights.
I love design. I'm a design freak, right? If I wasn't a coach, I would be an interior designer. I totally understand. Totally understand it. But I also
But I can
understand
do
how
that.
I can be like, I'm just going to spend 3.5 hours looking at different colour paints when I know I've got an interval session to
But
do.
it's, I just want to make, it's been a lot. But anyway, so that's hopefully, I mean, I think I said on the last one, oh, hopefully I'll be back in my house, but we're not.
Where are you now? You look like you're in a photographer's
Again,
studio.
I'm in the kids' bedroom. So
Oh, it's a
so the
great
soft
room. It's got
furnishings.
great sound.
Yeah, it's whatever, but we're here.
It
So,
has got a great sound. I'm not joking. It's got great. It
okay.
comes off. It like it's it the all the soft furnishings and the
The
soft
wizard
things.
blanket.
The wizard
It's the wizard
blanket. It's
blanket.
the Harry
It's
Potter blanket.
the
Does it?
unicorns. It's everything.
Yeah.
So it's been tricky the last 6 months. However, since having kids, so like I said, with twins, I don't think for the first 6 months I did anything because it's I and you
I
can
can
anyone can tell me like it
absolutely
was
100%
awful.
agree with that. From having clients that have got kids, they are like, I think one of the things that's really, and this is in like I'd say what, your average like household where the woman has had a baby and the man has taken a week off work and gone back to work, and the man is cracking on with what he wants to do, and the woman can't physically or mentally because she's got this baby attached to her. And like, if your baby will only take boob, that's it, right? There's not a lot the bloke can do. And I know there is nothing that that person with the baby attached can do. So with two of them, obviously you're looking after one of them, she's dealing with the other one. And that must be a nightmare.
It was a long time ago, and I think, like, genuinely, my mind's blocked out a lot of the detail because it was just so.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, I didn't get more than 2.5 hours sleep, in a row for 6 months. So that first night of sleep after 6 months was like the world's best drug. It was unbelievable. So
Where
like
did
I
you
didn't.
go? Did you go somewhere on your own?
No, we did sleep training with them. And so essentially, Sophie had 6 months off, and then we're like, well, we can't keep feeding them twice a night because I can't do this on my own. And, she's got to work and concentrate and got a proper job, whatever. So it's like, we can't do this. So, right, we did sleep training, which is so there's different ways of doing it. And again, everybody each their own. But you do the cry out method, which essentially is they start crying because they want to be fed like they've been fed for their whole lives. And you just go and you say, no, not now, back to sleep. And
What
then
you
you walk
say
out
that
and
to
they carry
them?
on crying.
You go in, you say, "Oi, little Ian, I don't think
Little
so, buddy.
tap. Yeah.
No,
And
mate,
then you
you've
walk
had
back
enough.
out. Yeah.
You've had enough, more than
And
enough."
then you do, because they don't need the feeding. So at the beginning, they need to be fed every 3 hours, which is why you wake up every 3 hours. But come 6 months, they don't need that. So you then go in, you say, right, go to sleep. And you walk out and you carry on crying. And you come back in a minute. And you go back out, and then you come back in 2 minutes, you go back out, and then 4 minutes, 8 minutes, you keep doing that. And it's awful because they're screaming and you're just sitting in the room next door, obviously not going to sleep, but just you're crying as much as they are. So it was terrible. But after 3 nights of that, they then slept through the night and pretty much they are good sleepers now.
I mean, I
Well, they're
don't
good
think them
sleepers
waking up
now.
now and asking for mummy to feed them is a great thing. They're like, what, you're
No.
seven?
But
Eight.
they're eight. But a lot of kids don't sleep well at eight. I listened to a few sort of parenting hell podcasts with Josh Widdicombe and Rob Beckett is brilliant. They're active. They're pretty active dads, and their kids don't sleep. They're pretty much the same age as mine. Whereas mine sleep, so I've got that nailed. But anyway, first 6 months barely did anything, and then so 2017 did two ultras, three marathons. 2018 three ultras, two marathons. 2019 three ultras, two marathons. 2020 I had quite a lot planned, and then the bit bug went around. 2022 two marathons, and then last year two marathons, an ultra, and a Ironman. And then I've chucked in some, that's just what I can get from Strava. And then this year, so it's only been like the last year where it's been an issue, or not an issue, but I just haven't really raced loads. But I get what I need from running. So for me, what I need from running, what I like getting from running, is getting out for half an hour, a bit of time on my own, and just running around, right? So I don't need to go out and do big things. I'm not using it at the moment to sort of go in and explore the country and things like that. I just want to get out, clear my head, and I find it, I have good ideas when I'm out, and I also find that it sort of chills me out a little bit when I go out. So I don't need to go out and do loads. So through all of that time, I've still been able to go out maybe two or three times a week for half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. Like, not long runs at all, but enough to sort of keep me ticking over so that I feel relatively fit and it makes me happy. So I don't feel the need to go out and do 50 miles or bigger
So,
races and
with
things.
your language, and I tell this to my clients, watch it. Need. You've used the word need about 800 times. Don't need to. Don't need. I don't need. It's not about need. It's about want. I want to. I get to. So, instead of the word need, no one needs to go running. No one needs it. We don't need it. It's a choice. So, you get to do it. So, it's about what you want to do with your running. And if you're happy running 3K a day or 3K every 4 days or 3K a week, that's fine. But I think that the thing came, the what's it call it, encumbrance came when it's like, I can't. I can't. It's like, but the thing is, the reason you can't is because you don't want to. And that's the, if you want something, you'll make it fucking work. Like, if you want to go and live in a van with your twins and your missus, you'll make it work. If you really want to, you don't need to, you don't have to. If you want to, you will. If you want to train for a 100 miler, you can make that happen. And I think the people that were up in arms were the people that were like, all of them were women who contacted me, and they were, and that's because women are told we can't. And that's societal. And I think you weren't telling people that they can't, but you were saying you couldn't. And that's a mirror to other people. So I think that's all it was, is language. And I really appreciate you talking about it because it helps. But women get very angry because we're told we can't. You won't have time. You can't do that. You're taking time away from your children. You're a bad mother. That is generally the gist we get. Whereas men can do what the fuck they want. And that's not your problem or my problem. That's a societal thing. It really is a fucking societal thing still in 2024. So that's what I want to iron out, right? It's about choice. It's about what you choose to do and what you want to do, not what you need to do or have to do.
And maybe I'm not good with the words, but it's, and when I say need,
But
what I'm
Paul,
is, so I go on.
Everyone should be good with the words if they've got children, because your children will grow up saying the same things that people have said for years and years and years, and that does not break the barriers for women and men's roles within society. It just keeps
Right.
making them the way they are. Read
But
Invisible Women or listen to it. All of you.
okay. So alongside this as well, so during that time, with all the things that I've done, my wife is also pretty active. So she's done Ironman, she's done Ultra, she's training for an Ultra at the moment, she's done all these other things. So there is only a finite amount of time to do things. And I don't want to stop for Sophie from doing things. You're right in that. We need to, I'm sort of pretty progressive, really, in the my viewpoints of the world generally. But also, I like to, and this makes me sound a little bit like a martyr, but I'm not. It's not the intention. But
He's literally the least martyrish person on earth.
well, I try to be. But I'm sort of. My daughter is a very, very strong-willed little girl, which is brilliant. And the one thing that really upsets her is sort of those injustices of somebody telling her she can't do something because she's a girl. And I like to think that's because we've bred that into her, that there is nothing that she cannot do because she's a girl. Like I say, she plays football, which I appreciate a lot more women do now, but she's also incredibly good at it. She is very much, if she grew up when I grew up, she'd be classed as a tomboy and people would probably say things or whatever. But I don't care. I want her to go and do these things. I don't want her to feel there's some sort of glass ceiling. And it would, I, we were having this conversation the other day, actually. I'd be so cross and depressed if she sort of had a relationship with a man as she was older and she got some sort of 1970s style man that, you know, comes home from work and expects dinner on the table, because that's not the household that she lives in. And so the words, yeah, I get that words have meaning, but I don't think that anything I said sort of would imply that I think that women shouldn't be able to do
No,
anything.
we didn't. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you think that. I'm saying that the words, people don't understand the power of the words that they use because we've used them for so long. They don't understand the weight that those words hold. So it's just really important to watch your language. Everybody, to watch your language. Like you just called her strong-willed, and that's a really interesting term. A lot of people would say tomboy. A lot of people would say, I don't know, she's, would you say the word
Stubborn.
confident,
Like stubborn
stubborn?
is like
But like,
a
would you call your son stubborn? Would you call, if the answer is yes, the answer is yes. But with girls, the words that are used with women are completely different to the words that are used with men. Now, a
yeah.
really interesting place to look at this, and I've been looking at this with Kirsty. We will be doing conducting an investigation on this, is in the world of mountain running commentary and like so things like UTMB or like Golden or Salomon Golden Trails. So we've been Kirsty's a journalist and she has to write the press releases for these races. So we sit there and we listen to what the commentators are saying. The way they describe the women in the women's race, at the front of the women's race, the way they describe the men at the front of the men's race is completely different. The language they're using is completely different. They will use words like dominate, aggressive, fierce, strong, brutal, savage when they're talking about the men who are doing exactly the same race. With the women, they talk about things like what they're wearing. They talk about, oh, she looks tired, thirsty, you know, difficult climb. They talk about how hard it is rather than the way that they're running it. And we've got a list, because we've got a list of the terms that have been used that we've heard these commentators use in the same race for men and for women. And this isn't, and this just passes people by. It completely fucking passes people by unless they actually listen to the words that are being used. And I think that's the thing. The narrative in like around choice, need, must, have to prioritize. It's like those things are big words that they're used a lot, and actually, it's about choice. So, it's about what your missus wants to do, it's about what you want to do, and it's about equal partnerships. And it's the same with the kids. Like, your daughter may well have that view. Does your son have that view? Does he? Who's he talking to at school? What's the language he's using? What are the underlying themes that are going through? It's all about really watching it. And when I look at Julius's son, Oscar, I don't speak to Oscar very much because he thinks I'm a prick. He's 15, so of course he thinks I'm a prick. But I'm really aware of the words that come out of his mouth and the way that he uses them. And sometimes I'll be like, "Watch your language on that," and he'll be like, "I didn't say anything," thinking that he said "fuck." When actually, no, it's not about saying "fuck." It's about the way you're talking about that person who happens to be female. Like, it's really interesting. I think if we could all do it a little tiny bit more, it would make a massive difference.
And it's
Choice. You
difficult. I mean,
choose. You want
especially,
to, not you need to, or you have to.
yeah, I mean, like 15-year-old boys, they're very prone to sort of the Andrew Tate type stuff. And so I'm acutely aware of that. And so, you know, it's very difficult for boys. I mean, we're not at that stage yet. He's only little, but yeah, he knows that daddy's don't have to all just go to work, and mummies aren't the ones that deal with the cooking. That's not how life works, because he's
No.
seen it firsthand. And that's, you know, I think that, well, I'd hope, you know, we're going forwards 15 years, but that should be the expectation of, like, that's how he thinks that the world works. And he'll probably be better off for it, hopefully, when he comes through it, because he's seen it firsthand, with the way that we do things at home. Like, we don't stick to a like I said, 1970s gender stereotype in our house.
Maybe that's where you're going wrong. That was a joke.
But it's tricky. But like, I mean, my whole point is that I'm choosing to do what I want to do. So I'm not, they are not an excuse for things, right? So that's why I don't think I really sort of expressed it particularly well last time, because I've made the choice that I want to go and do these things. So one of the things you said was like, oh, you know, when they're going to go and do their clubs, why don't you go and run for an hour? Because you, even when they're swimming, right? Considering swimming, their head down, they can't really see me because I'm sort of a long way away, because that's where you view from. Like, oh, daddy, do you see me do this? Do you see me? Yeah, I saw bits, but it's difficult. There's just heads. But they want you to see these things, and so I don't
Your
want to
children
be.
do. Other people's
Yeah.
children might not give a fuck.
When they get older, I think most kids at this
No,
age.
not most kids. You can't say that. Your kids want you to be there. Some people's kids don't care. That's what it is. It is what
When
it is.
they get
When
older.
Julius used to take Oscar to karate, he was like, get the fuck out. He did not want Julius in the room when he was doing karate. He's like, I don't want you watching me. I want to be left to my own devices. So Julius had to leave
At
the
this
room.
age, like
Yeah. When he was like seven,
eight,
eight,
nine.
nine, because we used to take him to karate and he'd be like, get the fuck out. And we'd have to go, we'd go for a run around the block. They don't all want that, Paul. Like, you've
Mine, well,
got to,
mine
like,
do.
right, yours do, and that's fine. But that's the thing. It's this, everybody's the same as me. They're not. And I
I
think
never
it's
said
that,
that.
that's no, but that's the thing that we need to, like, that's the language thing. Like, you choose, your kids want that. That's absolutely fine. But I think that's what we need, rather than some people whose kids are like, I'm going to club and I want to hang out with my mates. I don't fucking want you to be there. Like, piss off. At that age, like, I've seen it with Oscar.
Yeah, well, I mean, mine want me there, so I want to be there. And like I say, soon they won't want me there. I'm
They
fully aware
might
of it.
still, you don't know
Yeah.
yet. They might be those sort of kids that are like, Dad, let's go running together. And then you'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Now I've got to go running with them.
I think I'm pretty happy to put my neck on the line and say that virtually no teenagers want their parents at most of their things.
I have to tell you that Sarah and my niece is 15, and Holly, they were both like, let's do this together, Mum. Sorry. I'm
Well, I but I
sorry.
enjoy it. But this is thing. This is and it's not torturous. It's not listening to a recorder, which is an awful instrument. You can't. It's impossible to, even if it's played properly, it sounds horrific. So like, I don't enjoy going in and listening to that. But when
Do they play
it's,
recorder?
yeah, I think
Oh.
it must be on the curriculum, because
No, break
why
it.
else
Break
would you
it. Just
choose it?
break it.
I don't enjoy that. But I like going in. I like going to see the things to do at school. I like all this stuff. So I'm
Good.
choosing, right?
Good.
For me, it is at the top of a list of something beginning with P. Like,
Good.
that's for me. So that's what I'm choosing to do.
Good.
That said, I did sign up to Gran Turismo Adour for next year. So,
Which one, the 20 kilometer one or
no,
the
50K, 50K.
50K? Okay,
Yeah.
cool. That's
So,
open now, everybody. And if you want the discount, go into the Ultrasound System Facebook page and there's a discount code
I
link.
believe it's selling quite well as well. So I think it's gone quite well. I
Yeah,
think.
so they've taken Skiddaw, they've taken the there's an out and back from Dalston to Caldbeck that was horrible. It was flat. So you'd run like about 9 miles to Caldbeck. And then start to go up like round the side of Blencathra, then up Skiddaw, and then down again, and then back to Caldbeck, and then that horrible 9 miles back, that flat bit. And after you've been on that ascent, that's horrible. They've taken that out, so now it starts at Caldbeck, finishes at Caldbeck, so it's less 50K, 30 miles, and there's a 20 mile version that doesn't actually go up Skiddaw. So if you want a taster of what it's like, you can do that one first.
Yeah, I'm somewhat anxious of being in the lakes. So I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I've only really been out there sort of twice. It's quite bumpy, isn't it? So I don't. So what's Skiddaw like? What, like, the route going up?
Easy.
I it's
It's
not
easy
concrete, obviously,
underfoot.
but
It's easy underfoot. It's like a zigzag fire trail. So it's like your fire
right.
trails in Cannock, but it's high. And it's also got two false summits. So you get to Little Man, and then you get to the second one. I can't remember what that's called. Then you get to Skiddaw. It's the descent off Skiddaw that is a problem for people because it's down a scree slope that looks like it looks like you could fall off, but you're not gonna. It's a very, if you look at photos of it, you can see drops either side, but you're not going to fall off because it's just there's too much scree. But
Right.
that freaks people out. So
How long's that bit?
oh, it's not long, it's like half a mile, and you can see where you're going, unless it's claggy. It's better when it's claggy because you can't see where you're going. But I love that bit because I'm used to doing down those sorts of things. And there's loads of photos of it on the internet. It's not scary, but I think that, where are you? The best you could do is the Peak District, or North Wales. North Wales would be good training. Go up like you need to go up like Trifon or Crib Goch, but going up Snowdon is probably quite. Snowdon's way more technical than Skiddaw. Way
Is
more
there a
technical.
train?
Not on the train, no. But
Not
you
on the
know that there's
train,
a
right?
path up the path the train takes.
Yeah.
That's a good path. Is it the Rangers path that goes up? That's
Yeah, I
quite
think so.
nice. That's a good practice because it's very steep. That's the only hard bit of it. But it's the only thing. The thing about the Grand Tour Skiddaw is you've only got one big climb, and that's Skiddaw. The rest of it is bog. There's a bit boggy. There's a bit of like bog trotting. There's a bit of baby's head kicking. There's a bit of river crossing, but the rivers are like ankle deep. It's lovely. It's very beautiful, and I think Peak District and then North Wales, but not the horrible arsehole bits of North Wales. The like fan bits of North Wales, probably the best bet you've got. Or the Lake
I don't know
District.
if,
Go to Lake District.
yeah, it's a long way, isn't it? I don't know if I've ever done Scree before. I don't think I've ever run down.
It's just Scree is like little tiny bits of moving slate.
Yeah, on a steep gradient.
Poles are your friend because you can use your poles and you can walk down it. You can walk down it sideways.
Excellent. How about sort of just going down very slowly on my ass?
No, because you could get end up with like a ripped
Slate.
ass.
Right.
Like you don't want bits of slate up your bottom. You look like a Stegosaurus.
It's nice.
Stegosaurus bottom. I'm
Oh, definitely.
excited you're doing Grand Tour Escador. That'll be fun. You'll have a lovely time.
Yeah. So again, hoping to the plan. We'll see what the weather's going to be like. But the plan is to go up with the kids and then camp there for a few nights, and then maybe go on somewhere else and camp somewhere else and make a few days of it up there. So,
Nice.
yeah. So, but again, so for those events, for all the events that I've done for ages now, I'll just sort of do some basic training and then go and enjoy the day. Like I like to think. I used to be in a state where I could sort of walk out the door and I can get around a marathon, not quick, but I can get around, like my body will get me around it. That's sort of tailed off in the last 6 months a bit, but I can get back to that. And then I'll go up to the peaks. I think I might have to try and hunt out some scree from somewhere just so that I don't have to put up with that on the
How
day.
far are you from Wendover?
Well, I have to go down there.
It's quite good. Like a lap of Wendover is good, just good training for going up. Like, you know, that knocking
Yeah.
about bit that's really, really steep. Getting up and down that because that moves, because it moves when you come down it. Like, that's probably quite good training. But it's only one part of the day. Like, it's not far, it's a couple of miles. So I shouldn't worry too much about it. And anyone, and just go up, like, look at videos, look at photos. It's not technical, it's fun. So, yeah,
Yeah.
it's fine.
Yeah, so it should be good. I'm quite looking forward to it. So we'll do that and then hoping to maybe chuck in some other bits as well through the year, but I don't know if, well, you've not sent me that actually, but my throat is awful at the moment, so I'm going to be doing this the drop thing. So
Oh, yeah,
this is
when's the
going well.
drop?
So that will have already happened by the time people have listened, but that is on Sunday.
Hmm.
But I've had just so from football last weekend, shouting so much, I sort of lost my voice quite a bit, and now my throat is awful, and I can just feel sort of like my lungs are just full of phlegm. So if I feel like that, I won't be doing it because I've got a big bear event on Tuesday that will have already
I
happened
know,
again.
I've got a load of athletes doing that.
Oh, good. So I can't go and knacker myself on the Sunday because on the Monday I've got to go and mark the course out. So if I can't get around that at the moment, I'm sort of getting out of breath walking up the stairs. So we'll see how I get on.
Is it COVID?
I don't know. I've got some sort of chest infection of some sort, I think, but we don't treat them any differently, so we don't test for anything here because it's all bad, isn't it?
He
So
hasn't
whether
even
I've
had the
got, of
fucking vaccine, have you, Paul?
course I have. I'm a scientist.
Oh,
I'm a big believer in science. I'm a scientist, but if people walk around in the general population with it, then if you're really not well and you've got a bad chest, you shouldn't be going near elderly or people that are vulnerable anyway.
don't go near them because they smell of wee, so I just don't go
No,
near
there's
them.
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
And I'm frightened of their judgmental ways.
I act accordingly. Right. So now we've got rid of me hating all women or whatever that section was.
Ooh. I can't
Which
wait to call this
again, just to
Hating
be
All
very, very
Women is the
clear,
title of the podcast.
just
It's
to be
not really.
very clear, I very much don't, very personally, professionally, or in any other aspect. Right. It's not that topical because this is going to be 2 or 3 weeks after it all sort of kicked off. But I did find it interesting about Oasis and the dynamic pricing all kicking off.
Well, I missed out on this, right? Because I have absolutely no interest in going to see Oasis because I saw them at Earls Court in 1995. So I've got been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I've seen Noel live loads of times. I've seen Liam live loads of times. I've had spent time with Noel, who I really like. I've spent time with Liam, who I really like. I don't need to go and see them because I know they fucking hate each other. And what's really interesting here is there's not been any marketing where they're together. Have you seen any marketing where they're together? Where they've been like, yeah, we've had a chat. We really miss it. We want to go back on tour. Have you seen any of that? Because I haven't.
No.
No. So that to me suggests they're doing it for money. And that to me is the antithesis of live music. Because live music should be a celebration of passion and creativity and art and genuine want to communicate a message to an audience and be part of like a shared experience, not to make loads of money. That's why I wasn't interested in getting tickets to see Oasis.
Well, I didn't, and I haven't bought gig tickets for years. So
What
I
about Girls
knew.
Aloud? Didn't your wife go see
Well,
Girls Aloud?
yeah, she did, yeah. But she did that. So I
But I
didn't
bet
really
she
pay
fucking loved
attention.
that.
Yeah, she
I
did.
bet it was
Very good.
incredible.
Yeah, it was very good. But she, so I knew about the whole sort of like queuing on websites thing, but I didn't know that you had to queue for the queue. So I logged on at sort of 10 to 9 just to sort of work out what's going on. And there's, oh, you're part of the queue. So I, right, okay. And so, oh, brilliant. At 9 o'clock, I'll then, tell me where I am. And then I was queuing for the website until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then when I got onto the website,
Day.
well, it's just I had it on my phone, so you just sort of
Right.
keep refreshing it. I thought, oh, if I get them, if I get them, I get them. If I don't, fine, whatever. Got to it at like 3 o'clock, and then I was 500,000th or something in the queue.
Cool. Getting
And
closer.
well, and I'm thinking, well, they've been selling for the last whatever 6 hours, and Wembley's only 90,000 or 80,000 or whatever it is. So I don't think the maths quite works here. Sorry, I'm gonna have to cough. So I don't think the maths quite works. And so, how it was ridiculous. So then, when I did get onto it, there were like four individual seats left, and they were 550 quid or something. So, and I was like, well, this is never going to work. But I mean, I saw them. So the Nebworth gig, the 90, so my family's from Nebworth, essentially. So my grandparents lived in a tiny little hamlet in Nebworth. My dad went to Nebworth school. So we're sort of from around there. And so that Nebworth gig sort of is quite a big thing for me. Anyway, I saw them at Milton Keynes, I think in 2003, and I saw them again a couple of years later, I think. So I've seen them twice. So I was pretty keen to go. I do like the music. But I was like, I'm not spending fine. Like, it's just, but I didn't know, am I meant to have logged on to Ticketmaster at like 1 o'clock in the morning to join the queue for the, how does it work?
I
I don't
don't
know how it
fucking know how it
works.
works, but what I'm interested in is the dynamic pricing because it seems
Yeah.
to be endemic now, and no doubt. So, like, first off, we had the debate, the great Arc of Attrition debate about dynamic pricing, where there were going to be people stood at the start of the Arc of Attrition running the same race who have paid £125 for their ticket. And there's people standing in the same queue or the same line that have paid over £300. Same race, same experience, right? Dynamic pricing, surge pricing. So, is that what they were doing with Oasis?
Yeah, but it doesn't quite make sense to me because I get the whole supply and demand. I mean, we're looking at summer holidays for next year, and it's gone up by £700 from last week to this week. I guess as people start school again, they're like, "Oh, let's book a holiday for next year." And so I get that you try and sort of like get people when they're most likely to book, and you make it more expensive. It's not good, but I understand the model. But with Oasis, it's going to sell out on the first day. Where's the dynamic part of that? Just set the price high.
It's greed. It's
Yeah,
greed.
but
It's
it's
fucking
not.
greed. But the funny thing is, they're like, you can't resell the tickets. You have to sell them at face value. But what is face value? Because for some people, face value is £150. And for other people, face value is £500. So what exactly is face value? It's like what Ticketmaster was saying is other people can't make the money out of this, but we'll fucking make the money out of this by literally getting you, putting your head into a bucket of fucking water and doing something despicable to you. to get money out of you. It's a joke. And it's like, if you think about Oasis and what Oasis were, if you are 43 like me and you were there, hashtag since day one, that's not what Oasis are. They are two working class blokes from Manchester. But they're not anymore, are they? And that to me, it just loses all of its appeal because music's really important to me. Music is like the authenticity of it. There is no authenticity to it. It's fucking disgusting. It's gross. It's just a money-making thing. And that's fine. I just don't want any part of it because I don't want to, I've had such important things happen to me around music and it's saved my fucking life, like way more than running has. I'm not doing that. Like a ticket price should be a ticket price. Yes, if you're near the front, make them more expensive so you get a better view. If you have seats that are really comfortable in a box, make them more expensive, you have a better view. But not general admission. You can't be sat next to somebody. Your seat GB6, their seat GB7, they've paid £500 and you've paid 175. It's just fucking wrong.
Yeah, it's just I don't really get it. I understand them trying to, because I think the problem was when people would go and buy them all and then just sell them all on eBay sort of like 10 minutes later, which I remember trying to do quite a bit when I was a student actually, because it was quite a nice way to make some
You're
money.
the problem,
I'm
Paul.
the
You're the
problem.
problem.
I didn't. I
Again, we're going to have
but I
so many
remember.
emails about this.
I remember doing it, and then I can't remember what gigs they were for, but then struggling to even sell them at face value. So I wasn't very good at
Do you
it.
remember when you used to have to actually go and queue up outside HMV or at the venue on the day the tickets came out to buy the tickets?
No.
Oh my God, I loved doing that. I loved it. Like, I would go and I would queue up outside Brixton Academy, or I would queue up outside like the Astoria in London. Like, that's gone now. That's Tottenham Court Road
Yeah.
Station. And and it'll be exciting. We'd get there at like, we'd get in the queue at like 2 o'clock in the morning and just be fucking drinking all night, just waiting for these tickets to go on sale at 9 o'clock. And it was exciting. And it was a bit like buying a record. You go to HMV the morning it came out, you buy the record with like your £16, and then you go home and you put the record on and listen to it. Like, but the dynamic pricing thing is relevant to this podcast in that, one, we talk a lot about music, and two, it is happening in racing. So it just, it's, I was the UT, obviously, UTMB has just happened, and lots of people have been, and even looking at UTMB, I was like, God, I'd love to go and run that course, but I can go and run that course whenever I want to. I don't have to do it for UTMB, and I'm certainly not doing it for UTMB. But the, like, watching the coverage, the diversity of the people doing it is zero. And that is due in part to the expense attached to it, because it just prices people out of the market. And the work I do with InterUltra, people can't fucking afford this stuff. People on low incomes can't afford it. People that like want to do it, and I feel like maybe will benefit from it more. People that work for the NHS, people that work in like jobs that don't have massive fucking amounts of money attached to them, can't do it. And so InterUltra are going to have to subsidize it. And it's just, if we make it acceptable across the board in music and in sport, it just is going to reduce the fucking choice, isn't it? It's going to reduce the ability to have a diverse audience and participation, because it's through being in the audience that makes you want to participate, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was just setting up some new events for next year actually on my entry platform, and
Here we
they've
fucking
got
go. Here we go.
I
He's
can
going to
now do
diverse
dynamic
price them.
pricing.
You can dynamic price them. Right. How are you going to do that then?
No, I'm not going to do it because
Please
it's
do it.
just unnecessarily complicated. But I think I could sort of set parameters. So I've seen on some, so you get sort of different pricing models. So I have late pricing because it's a lot easier for me to know people are going to be entered, and so you want to, and for people to enter early, because then I know roughly what sort of event I'm going to be putting on, whether it's going to be 100 people there or 20 people there, and so you want to reward people for entering early. So I think like early bird discounts and things, I think that's okay, but it's the whole up and down. So if it just keeps going up and up and up and up, and then I think that's sort of probably all right, in
No,
that.
it's not all right. Up and
Yeah,
up
but
and
if
up
you
and
went,
up and up.
well. No, but if you enter 12 months before, you get it at a really good rate. And then if you enter 6 months before, it goes up. If you enter 3 months. So I think
But
that sort of
that's
idea.
stated on the
Yes.
website as,
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
it's, yeah. So that's early bird pricing. That's different.
Yeah.
Early bird pricing is different to dynamic pricing.
Yeah. Because the dynamic pricing is just nobody knows.
Yeah,
Like
it's
you just
surge. So
know.
basically, it's the more people enter, the higher the price goes. Then if people stop entering, it drops again. Then people are
Yeah.
like, oh my God, the price has dropped. So they go, all go and enter, and it rises again. And that's not going to happen with someone like Oasis, because everybody's hammering on the door until all the tickets
Yeah.
have sold out. So it's just going to keep going up. But with racing, it could be like for example, and Grand Tour of Skiddle have not done this. I'm just using them as an example. They put their tickets on sale a couple of days ago. If there's a big surge, the ticket price can go up, and then people go, I've got my ticket now, and it drops. Or if you put tickets on sale at a weekend, a payday weekend, it surges, then it drops where people have got all their tickets. So the price goes down again. People see it's dropped, so they go in and get them again. And it's like the waves, basically. It doesn't make fucking sense. And it's just a money-making thing. Maybe I should start doing my coaching of dynamic pricing.
But it's just such an odd thing to have. I mean, so I was reading the BBC News article about it, and they were sort of making the comparison with football, comparing like Oasis and football. With football tickets, you have to say, these are the prices for our seats for the year, and they are the price. But you can, you know, football fans get ripped off for everything. So you can clearly see, I think Valencia out in Spain started it, and they've had a lot of people kicking off, because it doesn't reward like the fans at all. It just means that people that go on holiday and want to spend out will go and do it for a year, but they don't really care. They just want to sit and clap and buy stuff in the superstore. So the football clubs like them doing it, but it's not great for the atmosphere and things like that. But it's just such an odd thing to do, dynamic pricing. It does seem strange, especially, like I say, especially for events, like for running events. I don't think there's many. There's probably any really UTMB where they have enough people where you can really manipulate it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's many other race. Oh, London Marathon, stuff like that, maybe.
Yeah, but London Marathon is charity, isn't it? So they won't do that. Like London Marathon, I mean, they dynamic make you raise certain amounts of money for charity. But the other thing is, Ticketmaster said it's not us that sets the prices. Who is it then?
But no one seems to want to. So then Oasis came out, like Noel and Liam came out yesterday, I think, saying it wasn't us. These were conversations with our management. So it sounds like management.
Oh, do you remember when the Mud Crew were like, oh, it's got nothing to do with us? It fucking has got a lot to do with you, because you can't tell me that you didn't know how much tickets for your own fucking tour were going to be. You can't. If I was in a band, I'd be like, how much tickets for the tour going to be? In fact, when I went on tour, I was like, how much for tickets for the tour going to be? That's too expensive. Let's make them this. Like, I should have done dynamic pricing for my tour. Then maybe I'd be buying a car that was a bit better than the one I bought. But I probably wouldn't have sold out those dates. Anyway, we need to stop talking about this. It's just a thing, isn't it? It's just a thing. We're all going to fucking keep doing it because we're sheep, and then it will just become a thing that we all do, and we'll end up going to the supermarket, and crisps will be dynamically priced.
But that's the thing. I mean, as technology improves, maybe stuff like that will go down that route, because you know you couldn't have done this 20 years ago because we didn't have the technology to be able to change things or find the data to deal with the stuff. But it's odd. I just find it really a really odd model to not know what you're going to pay. I mean, it's nearly as frustrating as paying for booking fees, which again we've all come to just sort of expect with gig tickets. But when it's race entries, it annoys me every time.
Because you're not even dealing with a person, are you?
No.
So it's not even like the person to pay who's booked it for you.
Back
in the day, somebody at the end of the phone would book you a ticket. And so you'd be like, help pay that person to book your ticket. That's the other thing. You just have to phone up to take that ticket.
Yeah, I remember phoning up.
Yeah.
I phoned up for tickets. Mm. I was on queues for things like that.
But, I mean, the booking fee. When they picked it up, when they picked up the phone, you'd be like, oh.
But the booking fee is just the fee that I pay to the company to process stuff. So I have to pay something like 4 or 5% or whatever it is every time somebody books an event. So that money never comes to me. They just take it as source. So rather than me paying that, they're making the punter pay that.
So why do you, with your races, do you put your booking fee in with the whole fee? So it's like, this is how much it costs all in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't charge you individually for the coke and the medal and hiring a van, and it's just a business expense. That's how I see it as a business owner and as a competitor. Mm. Like the booking fee is part of it. Mm. It's like when you used to get charged, I think they banned it with flights, like a card processing fee.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, You have to pay to put cash in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I paying your fees to put credit card stuff through? Mm. Like it's like nothing's free. Like, so it just seems odd to section that little bit out if you're not going to section everything else out, if that makes sense.
Listener, send us your dynamic pricing encumbrances. I'd like to hear them. We like to hear stories from you about how this is affecting you as a runner as well. It'd be really, really interesting. Because it'd be interesting, what if it starts to happen with shoes? You know, like if Nike bring out the next version of their carbon-plated knob jockey shoes, and because billions of people are trying to buy them, the price goes up. Until they're all gone.
I'd never thought about you saying about the face value thing, because you could buy. So if these companies have refund policies, if you've bought something at £300, but then suddenly it's gone down to £100, and you can get a 70% refund, well, get a refund on £300 and buy £100, and you've
Are
made your
they
money
going to
back.
do
Like,
that? What is face value? Like, it's a big
yeah.
fucking question, isn't it?
Or you buy it £100, and then suddenly they're all worth £300. So face value, you've made money. Like it's a funny thing. It'd be
Well, not
interesting.
because it's not like you get a ticket anymore, is it? But we used to get a ticket. Look at this. Show you this one.
What, your gig ticket?
This is amazing. Oh, it's a new ticket. Oh, there's a couple. Look at that one. The
Oh, look at
purple
that.
one for Earls Court.
There you go.
Earls Court, so Saturday, 27th September, 1997. Price, £19.
Yeah, well, this is it. So when I used to buy gig tickets, they were like, yeah, £19 for the smaller ones, the smaller venues, and then like 30 or £40 when you went to bigger stadiums or whatever. So I thought, oh, okay, well, it'd be a bit more than that. It's been a while. But £150, I thought, oh, that's a bit steep, but fine. But £300,
I went to see
oh.
Arcade Fire at Brixton Academy in December. No, not December. When did I go to see it? Not long ago. I went to two gigs in a week. I went to see the National at Cardiff. That was £55 to see the National at Cardiff Castle. Bargain, right? Absolute fucking bargain. Like seeing the band I love in this amazing environment. Arcade Fire was £85. It's Brixton Academy, and it was them playing Funeral from start to finish, and all the tickets were £85. And there was only two shows, and I was like, "This is a once in a lifetime experience," and I love this band, so I'm going to pay it. And tickets sold out in seconds, but they were all £85. All the tickets were £85. Same with the National. All the tickets were £55, except for the ones you could sit in this covered area with like a tent. So if it was raining, because it's Wales, you would be covered. And there was a bar nearer to you, and I think you could pay like £100 for those tickets. But I was happy being with the plebs. So yeah, I mean, it's just a load of old shit, isn't it? But I think the thing is, people need to pull their fucking heads out of the sand and realize this Oasis fucking thing. It's like they don't fucking like each other. It's not going to be a very good experience for anybody. And I will put money on the fact that I don't actually think it's going to happen. And all of you bastards are going to have to get refunds, but maybe not for the price that you paid for the tickets.
Well, I think they reckon he's sort of, well, they've sold something like £200 million worth of tickets.
Good for them. They
Ten.
still fucking hate each other, and it's still not going to be very good. Liam
Yeah, well,
can't sing. Go and see Noel Gallagher on his own.
I
It's
think.
we're done here. We're finished with them. Like, come on, it was of a time.
But what are you talking about? I think you said something earlier about young. Oh, about if you got your music onto Love Island. So I saw something online about apparently Wonderwall's really big on TikTok.
Of
So
course it
people,
is. Like
kids think it's because it's big on TikTok, they've come back. It's like, no, they're
there was
quite a
an
big band.
awful lot of fucking snobbery about, oh God, I can't believe young people are going to see Oasis. They don't even know. I should get that ticket. It's like, guys, music is for everybody. It's like saying that we shouldn't listen to the Beatles because we weren't fucking born then. Like, come on. It's great to introduce kids to bands that we. It's really. Music is such a universal thing. What's not great is to introduce them to Oasis now when I think they're going to be fucking dog shit. Whereas before they were really, really good. They were a really great
Yeah,
live band. Really
they were
good.
good. I enjoyed it when I went to see them. That's why I want to try and go and see them again, but I'm not going to
It won't be
spend
very good. Don't bother.
hundreds.
Go and see Noasis. There's loads of good tribute bands. They're much better. Noasis are my favourite. Right, you wanted to mention
Yeah.
some, you wanted to do some bloody pimping of your own fucking agenda, as per
No,
usual. Have you
not
got
at all. Just
some challenges?
general event, just general stuff happening in the event world. In my little event world, it's amazing how entries just fall off a cliff in August. And I think it happens every year with me anyway. Just no one enters any events. And then in the last week, what we're on, it's the 5th of no 5th November, 5th of September, as we speak, I've had probably more entries in 5 days than I had in the last 30 days.
Everyone, because kids have gone back to school, parents have gone,
Yeah.
oh, fucking hell, I'm a little bit fat and I've drunk too much over the summer holidays. I'm going to get fit and I'm going to put this in and go and do it. That's what it is, I reckon.
Yeah, just a bit of time, but it's every summer I get worried. I think, oh, maybe people aren't entering events. But and also, so this is something that catches me out every year as well, is that nobody ever enters any of my events in October. So at the moment, I've got an event in a few days. So beginning of September, 85 entries. So that'll probably get to 90, something like that. 1st of October, 43 entries. 20th of November, 57 entries. So the 20th of November is quite a way away yet. So I wouldn't expect to have loads for that. But every time I put an event on in October, wherever I do it, I just have no entries for it. And I can't, I get it in April because it's like peak marathon season. So people's events clash and all that sort of stuff. But I don't see October as like a peak time for big events.
I
It's not in
see it.
half
I
term.
see.
Odd. I can't. There are events. There are some bigger events. There's some like big half marathons. I think it's the Yorkshire Marathon, maybe. So there's some like decent sized mass participation events, but there's not loads. It's just every time and every year I forget, and every year I'm like, oh, there's a little gap there in the diary, so let's put an event in, and
Why
then
don't you
it
do a
comes around.
Halloween themed one? People would like that.
Yeah, it's not really my bag, that.
Yeah, well, I think that that's where you're missing out. I think if everybody could wear coats, so Pegasus, Reese just messaged me from Pegasus, and he's got a new event that he's putting on. He just sent me a picture that I'm going to get tattooed on my arm, because it's fucking cool, and I think that's going to be themed. And I do like. I don't want to dress up myself, but I do like it when the aid stations are a bit themed. As long as it's not fucking Christmas, I don't want it to be themed around Christmas. But Halloween is a great theme. Maybe you should do like a Halloween run. You can have people jumping out the bushes, scaring people. I'll do
Yeah,
that.
there's a couple of events locally that do like Halloween runs. I really don't like Halloween. I see it as massive sort of Americanism that is just really there just to sell us commercial things.
No,
Massive
it's
commercialization.
goth Christmas for us. People that are miserable and don't do Christmas. I think the same about Christmas. Christmas is a bourgeoisie exclusion mechanism.
Pardon?
Christmas is a bourgeoisie exclusion mechanism, whereas Halloween is like, let's
Right,
scare the
okay.
shit out of some people.
We just eat turkey and give each other a few presents at Christmas. I don't know
Yeah,
if that
me and
quite fits
Pickle go
that.
away by ourselves and don't celebrate. We run 25 miles on Christmas Day. Right. Anything else about your event? So you've got the otter.
Yeah, that's on that. That'll have happened. Hopefully, that'll
Yeah.
have been a success. So that will have happened. Then I've got 1st of October. We've got the Birch Challenge and the Petzl Night Runner 10K at Cannock Chase. And then I've got one in November as well, but that's at Salisbury Forest, and then that's my year done for Big Bear. And then I've got Wendover Woods,
Oh, yeah.
50 with Centurion in November. So lots of things coming up. But yeah.
Roll up, get your tickets where they're hot before he starts to dynamically price them. Okay, well, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks for coming and talking to me. And anyone that's got any comments, please direct them to Paul because I'm not interested. I've actually recorded two podcasts, three podcasts in a week for this fucking thing. You, I've done Holly, and I've done Darren Evans as a legend. Darren Evans is a guy that's a co-founder of the Green Runners and does pair-ups. That's why I podcasted out, because at the moment, when you're listening to this, viewer, listener, I will still be in Italy at Tour de Géant looking after my friend and yours, Kirsty Reid. And next week, we will have an investigation into what happened to Kirsty Reid at Tour de Géant. And I really hope it's a good thing, not a bad thing. But regardless, we'll still be investigating what went on at the Tour de Géant. That's fun, isn't it?
Have fun.
Yeah, I'll try. You have a nice time too. Thanks for talking to me. I love you. Bye.
Cheers, everyone.